morning, if you will, turn with me to our text, which is found in Romans 8, verse 31. It's Romans 8, verse 31, and we'll concentrate today, Lord willing, on the last part of the verse. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how glorious Thou art. What a truth there is before us this day. O Lord, only You as a living and true God, can come to Thy people in this hour and tell us indeed, assure us indeed, that You are for us. O Lord, as the evidence is unfolded today in Thy Word, may You make it effectual to Thy people's souls to show us that in this life there is one far greater than what is in this life. And Lord, that You are indeed for Thy people. Show us the depth of what that means today. And Lord, give us that assurance that Thou art with us forever. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? I think all of us this week, or at least we participated in some way or another in what this nation called Election Day. And I thought about that deeply this week as the day came a lot closer to that time. And we vote, me and my family, we vote in a gymnasium that's owned by a church. Now, standing in that place and thinking about, as I let all the rest of my family go up before me so they could vote before me, and it's when the Lord gave me this passage, because I started to think deeply about how silly it is that man calls that Election Day. That man has all these days that we vote and that he calls election days. And the Lord took me to what election is. And if truly our election if we're moved by a day that man says is election day, the problem with that is we're not seeing our election and what that means. And that's when God sent me this text. He said, if I'm for you, who can be against you? As I sat there, and then I got to the place where I was voting, and I'm looking at the ballot, I felt some conviction. Because I don't know about you, but I feel like guilty sometimes when I'm looking at names. I don't know any of those people. I don't know any of them. None of them. I don't care what they're running for. Do I truly know these people I'm voting? We know what we're told. We know what the media says. We know things that we can read. But do we really know them? And the Lord took me to the true election. The time that He elected His people. Today I want to look at what that means. Paul in this passage asked that question. What shall we say to these things? These things is what came before that. And we're going to look at that here in a minute. But he said, his surmising of that was, after all of this has been said, if God is for you, who can be against you? And I thought about that in light of, you know, we go and we cast our ballot, just like we do when we go to eat out. We don't know how that food that we order is going to react to us. But we look at the menu and we choose what we think is best for us. But that doesn't mean when we go home we're not going to have ill effects of that food. It may be that that's not the food that was best for us. These are the little things in this life that we elect over and over again because we don't have foreknowledge. We don't have the knowledge that God has. When He took place, when He, the Triune Lord, elected a people. When the Father elected a people, He had all knowledge. He had all love for that group of people that He elected. He had a relationship. That's what I'm saying. When we compare the things that we take place in on the realm of what the Lord shows us in the spiritual realm, how much greater is that election in Him, that election in Son, than anything that we partake in here in this life? Now that's the question I start with, because I'm going to end with the same question, because depending on how we cast that vote, and depending on how it turns out, we actually suffer in a way that we worry more, worry less. It affects us. But it didn't change or alter our election in Christ. But yet, because of our fallen nature, we lose sight of that election and we look at the things that take place in this life. And we get cumbered by them. We get worried with them. And look, we stand here today, I stand in front of you, and this state couldn't even get it right again. The one we live in, we still don't know who won what. That's man's election. Man will always find a way to be deceitful, to be dishonest. And we look at that today as we come here, and I don't know about you, but joy fills my soul when I read our text today. If God is for me, if He voted for me, that's a sure foundation. If He voted for me, no one is going to alter that vote. No one can change that vote. No one is going to lessen that vote to me. I don't care how much false religion knocks on my door every day and tries to water down what Christ has done and tries to exalt the creature and tell me that I have some part in it. None of that can affect me if He voted for me. That's the whole question I have for you today. Has God voted for you? And we're gonna look at the Word of God this morning and see if indeed that is the case. Peter said it this way in 2 Peter 1:10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." That's what I hope as the Holy Spirit moves upon us today with power, that there is a diligence in your soul to say, "Lord, have you voted for me?" That's what He dropped to me. As I sat there and I started filling in them ovals, I started to sweat. Not because of any name on there, because of the trepidation I had at that moment. God, did you vote for me? I'm sitting here doing this frivolous exercise in what I think is right, but none of that matters. It only matters if God voted for me. By the time I kept going and praying at the time, the Lord just gave me that overwhelming sense of peace that He has voted for me. And that's when He dropped me this text. "I'm for you. I'm for you. And there's no man can pluck you out of my Son's hand. There's no man that can alter you and can alter your salvation, because I have voted for you." And that's what I want to look at today. The rest of that verse: "For if you do these things," Peter said, "ye shall never fall." Think about that a minute. Ye shall never fall. We fall every day in this life. We fall short to His glory every day. We stumble in the dark. We have so much unbelief. We have so much terror that comes to us. We fall, we fall, we fall. But if our foundation is Christ, if we've been elected before the foundation of the world in His Son, we shall never fall. Never fall to a finality. We cannot fall from grace. We cannot fall from being elected. That vote, as I said, will never be swayed. It can never be changed or altered, no matter what man says. We don't know the end of what the election results are in this state, but I know one who does. I know one who has purposed all of these things. And we're going to see that today. You know why He purposed them? Because He's voted for His children. He's voted for us. I want to begin at the beginning of the chapter. Chapter 8. I want to look at just a couple things in chapter 8 before we start to delve into rest in one place. If you look at where Paul, this warring that's going on in Paul in 7. And not only is it warring, but it's a great reflection of the Holy Spirit revealing to Paul what he cannot do. What he wants to do, he cannot do. And it throws Paul and throws all of himself upon his Lord. And that's how it ends. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then the declaration, the promise. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Yes, there is a warfare that will be with me the rest of this life. But if he voted for me, that flesh will be destroyed. That inner corruption that I have will be put down. This body will be raised anew with no corruption in it. No warfare going on anymore. A glorified body that will be meet with my soul and that will be in eternity, worshiping the true God who has voted for me. That's it. How much do we think about what the Lord has done in eternity? It doesn't. We get so caught up in time. We get so caught up in the physicality of how we live each day and all the unbelief that we have and all the worries that we have. And the Lord's remedy is to come and show us what He's done for us, that He has voted for us. Verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. Why? Why is there no condemnation for all the sin that we do and all the foolishness that we take place in and all the things that we do wrong in this life that the world will always point out that you do them wrong? How far short you fall to this God that you say that you worship. Oh, look, you're this kind of sinner. Oh, you're the... Is there condemnation? There is from the world. But there's not from our Lord. Why? Because He is for us. Because He voted for us. That's what this means. What do we have in this vote, this powerful vote, this true election, this election that came with so much power? You and I, our votes can't alter much. I mean, on a small scale, they can. We can sit there and vote for this and say we can cast what we think or what we want to do. Just like I said, when we're voting at a eating out, this is what I'm going to eat. This is what I elect to eat tonight. So we go through life making these decisions all the time. But how often do we think about who is in control of our life? Who has ordained all things? Who? And this is a beautiful safety to me. I walk in this life groping in the dark many times. And as I said, I don't have much trepidation when I go to vote because, like I said, I don't know one from the other. We're so polarized in this nation, it doesn't matter who stands for what or who doesn't stand for. All the things that matter is an R and a D. That's it. It doesn't matter what the people do. It's just an R and a D. Well, for the child of God, it shouldn't be that way. Has the Lord voted for us? If He has, that's what I'm saying. That trepidation in getting involved in a man's affairs leaves us. Because we know that our Lord has ordered all things, which we'll get to. You know, Romans 8, 28 is coming. And all that's possible and all of that is reason because the Lord has voted for us. So the first thing we have in verse 1 is we have no condemnation in Christ. We are freed from the condemnation of the law. We're free from freedom we have in Christ because of over death and over sin and over... Why? That condemnation that comes every day to us in certain forms. And Paul said, just after his deliverance, after he saw Christ, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. I know that the Lord has ordained my life this way. That I have His presence in my soul. And that is victory. And because He is in me, and because He is my life, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus for those who walk after the Spirit. Well, how do we know that's going to take place? Because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is what the Lord gives us to guide and lead us to Christ. He swears by Himself. There is no other. This is God with us. This is Emmanuel, God with us. This is Christ in us. The Holy Spirit revealing that. That's where life is. That's where there's no condemnation. And then we go on a little bit. Like I said, I can't read it all for time's sake today. But we go on over here to 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We just got this great title here. We're sons of God and daughters of God. This is all meaning all in God, all elected by God. Why is that? Because He's voted for us. That's what I'm saying. This vote is a secure vote. This vote is a powerful vote. Because of what I've done in eternity, my children and my church and my people will walk this way in their time, space continuum that they live in down here. It's all secured in eternal life. It's all secured in this election. I know it's a very unpopular thing. I know that man has to have a place in it, and I know that people reject this doctrine, and they reject the election that we have in God for this very reason. They want to get involved. And that's why I said, we show ourselves ignorant every time, like in these elections that come up. We can't even get that right. We can't. How hard is it to vote and to count the votes? Well, there's too much corruption. There's too much lies. There's too much dishonesty. There's too many people saying, I want my will. I'm going to have my will at whatever cost that is. Does that alter our election? That's what I hope today. The Holy Spirit says to you, as bad as things look in the state that I live in, and I mean state of Florida, in the state that I live in, look at all this chaos going around me. What is that going to mean for me in a week? Nothing. Not if you elected by God. Not if you're a child of God. Will it take place in this life? Will it maybe adjust things in it? Not if Romans 8:28 is true, which we're going to get to. And that's what I'm saying. How much do we have this examination in our life every day? Are the Scriptures true? Are they? Is Romans 8:28 true? Because if it is, we have to stand before you today and we have to proclaim what is going on is good. It's good for us. It's good for the children of God. We might not know why. We might not know the depth of it. In fact, we might even shake our heads at it. But our Lord has pronounced it good. And as many as are led by the Spirit, 14, as many are led by the Spirit of God, That's the second thing we learn. We're led by the Spirit of God. Not the spirit that lives in the world. Not the spirit of man. Not the spirit of some beast. The Spirit of the living God. That's what comes in this vote. If I voted for you, I will send you my Spirit. And He will dwell in you. And He will reveal my Son's work in your life. And not only that, He will empower you to walk that way. Wow. That's what we get in sonship. That's what we get in this election. As we get involved, we all do, in the things of this world, and we look at the people that we did vote for and all the things they promised, and then when their time runs out, you ever sit back and you listen to whether they're for Him or against Him, and you sit there and go, well, these are the things He got done that He said He'd do. And these are the things He didn't get done that He said He'd do. And every year, it don't matter what side you're on, all of them say the same thing. Well, this is what I could. Then all the excuses come. This is why I couldn't do. That ain't the truth that lies in our God. What He has purposed, He has willed, He has decreed, He has done. There is no gray area here for the child of God to sit and say, could this be? Could the Lord do this for me? Could He show me that I'm elected in Him? Could He take my mind from off this world? Absolutely. It's not could He, it's does He. Yes. Check that box. He does. If you are ever transcended from this earth to be given the faith of the Son of God, to believe that He is reigning, it's because He voted for you. He voted for you before the foundation. 17, if children, then heirs, heirs of God. We are heirs of God and heirs of His Son, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we may suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. We are glorified together with the Son of God, and we are an heir with Him. Everything that the Father said, I've given my Son, and in Him all things consist. All things. And we are just told there that all the things that the head has, the body has. Because of the head. We're joint heirs. Everything that He has inherited, if we be in Christ, we've inherited. Let that sink in a minute. Dominion over sin. Dominion over this world. Freedom from sin. Freedom. We're going to hit a couple verses later that are in Jeremiah. They're absolutely beautiful. Joint heirs. What does that mean? An inheritance in Christ. An inheritance. All because Paul tells us in 31, because if God is for us, and don't mistake that. That little phrase that comes before that, if God is for us, it's because it's an examining passage. It's an examining passage on one hand, but it's also a declaration on the other. Meaning, if God is for you, all of this that I just said is on your behalf. He has done all these things for you, and He has done them perfectly. Verse 26 tells us that the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Isn't that true? We just talked about that. We don't know the depth of the situation that we're in or who we're voting for. I think about that many times. You've seen these movies, or you've seen these things where people, they have these stories where man will sell his soul to the devil to get whatever he wants. You know, and then he prospers in this life because he sold his soul to the devil. I think about that sometimes when I'm going to vote. And I'm like, I don't really know these people I'm voting for. I don't know if I'm swaying my allegiance to someone, and I don't even know who they are. Where is my rest in that? How do I ever get past that where I'm not a legalist sitting on the side saying, I'm never going to vote. Or I'm not crawling under a rock somewhere saying, well, I'm not going to live in this society either. Well, that freedom is in Christ. And our dependence is upon Him to show us where to cast the lot. But knowing it's always in His hand. It's always in Him to show us what we have in Him. Not what we have in man. Not what man has done. Don't ever give credit to man. Don't ever sit there and go, oh, this one was better than it. Listen. Our Lord's ordered those things. All glory belongs to Him, for He has done it. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Then we get down to 28. Now we're going to camp there for a little bit. 28 down to our text. And we know. As I said, this election, there's a relationship. When He elected His people before the foundation of the world, there was a union there made. There was a union with this triune God and His people. That's what the Lord prayed for in John 17. The revelation of that to His church. That there is a union. That, Father, as You and I are one, I want them to be one with us. We need the Lord to reveal that to us. We need the Lord to show us the power of Himself every day in our life to show us what He has done for us. So in 28 He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Well, that's what we've been touching on many times in this sermon already, is if the Lord is for us, and 28 is true, then everything that we see is working for our good if we love Him because He loved us first. That's how that works. Did the Lord love you first? Do you have a love for this God and this, the God of this script, of these Scriptures? And if you do, it's only because He loved you first. And the Word here tells us today that we know these things. We know them by union. We know them because the Lord reveals to us that this is what this vote being cast on our, for our benefit, for our behalf. When the Lord said, I voted for you, fill in your name, whoever you are. If you be a child of God, when He voted for you, He said, in your life that you live down here, that everything will work for your good. No matter you see it or not, it's not dependent upon you to see it, whether the Lord has done it. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a deep, deep thought? That it doesn't depend on me having joy in it and me seeing it to whether God did it. Whether He's glorified in it. Whether He brings glory to Himself in it. It's not dependent upon me. It's dependent upon Him. And has been. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Because here we get that foreknowledge. For whom He did foreknow. That's what He tells us. There was a relationship. All of this that comes after it is because there's a union. There's a relationship that the Father has. See, when He voted for us, it had nothing to do with anything we were ever do or anything like that. He voted for us because He elected us. Not based on our merit. Not based on something we would do in the future, saying, oh, I'm going to choose Him in the future. Oh, okay, well, I'll vote for Him now. No. A horrible heresy. Horrible heresy that has infiltrated the church. To think that it's any kind of dependence upon us, or something we've thought, or something we've merited. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, which we already talked about, predestinate, to be conformed to the image of His Son. This foreknowledge and this election before the foundation of the world, this vote, if you will, that He voted for us was to conform us to the image of His Son. Now that is quite a power. Because I'm just going to look, when I look within myself, I say, Lord, how could You do such a thing? You must be powerful to conform me, this filthy sinner, to be conformed to the image of Your Son. And that makes me think of 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. I love that. As He is in eternity, as He is reigning, so are we when we live in this world. Even in this world, we're conformed to His image because He voted for us. Because He cast that. He said, this one is My child and will always be My child. This one will be conformed to the image of My Son. It is a deep truth. It is something that as we get those little nuggets, those little glimpses of heaven, of what it is to worship Him without your mind wandering, what it is to be freed of sin when the Lord lifts you out of that pit of despair, what it is to see the Lord's finished work, what it is to know that He has done all these things, even in this life. Because as He is today reigning, as He is today glorified, as He is today resurrected, as He is today ascended, so are we in this world. So are we. That's what we have in this vote. So I'm saying, I hope the Lord takes us all away from all of these things that we read in the headlines and we get cumbered by. I'm with you. I do too. I get frustrated. I get very frustrated. I say, are these things ever going to end? These things that, but really, what are we losing sight of? What He has done. What He reveals to us that will carry us through this life, all of our days. And as we close our eyes, and as the Lord does come for us, as the end of that song we just sang said, when the Lord does appear for us, when He does come for us, we close our eyes and we wake up in the bosom of our Lord. We will have known glimpses of what we will know fully in that time. The gloriousness of our Lord. Of course, then we'll know it without any hindrances, any pains, any afflictions, any sin. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Yes, our Lord is the firstborn. He is the shepherd that went first in all things for His sheep. He was resurrected that we will be resurrected. He was tempted and succored that we are tempted and succored. John said it this way in John 10:4, and when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. They know His voice. It's funny, it's tragic. Funny is not the word, it's tragic how many voices we hear in this life and we follow them. Ultimately, we cannot follow them to the end. We will not. Because the Scriptures tell us we will hear His voice. We follow Him in the day of His power. In the day of our power, we wander a lot. We sing a lot of songs like that. And every time we sing them, I say, amen. I was a wandering sheep. I am a wandering sheep. I need the Lord to bring me back to the fold over and over again. So I'm prone to wander. Over and over again. And then we come to the golden chain, it's called, verse 30. Moreover, we're not done. He says, even more so, after whom He predestinated, them He also called. As I said from the beginning, this is the theme running through all this entire time, is what is God for us and what does that mean? What does it mean that He voted? The power in His vote is all of this that we've talked up to this point so far, and we'll continue to talk about what has unfolded and what the Lord has done for us. Whom He predestinated, that He called before the foundation of the world, them He also called with a powerful call. He called them away from a life of sin. He called them from serving sin. He called them from serving the wicked one. He called them. Just like He did His disciples. And He said, follow Me. And the sheep hear His voice and they follow Him. He has called us to a life of life in Christ. That is what He's called us to. This is how Paul said it in 2 Timothy 1:9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. It's a holy calling. As you are called to do things in this life. As you are called by man to do these things and to act a certain way, ask yourself, has He called you with a holy calling? His calling is a holy calling. It's not just a calling. It's a sinless calling. It's a calling that the Lord says, follow Me this way. This is what's glorifying to Me. And He gives the power to do it. A holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. That's what's in that holy calling. His purpose and grace. Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. There we are back in eternity. That's when it was given to us. It was given us in Christ. In Christ Jesus before the world ever began. And if He has never sinned, and if He has never let down the Father, and He has never done anything contrary to the will of God, isn't that someone that we can trust? I look at that and I say, wow, all those things that I just said Christ has never done, I do them over all the time. But He, on behalf of me, has performed all things for His church. We're not done. Because them whom He called, them He also justified. He pronounced not guilty. He said, your sins are taken away. Your sins are blotted out. I am the just and justifier of all of my children that are in me. If I set you free, you will be free. That's what John said in John 8:36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That's what it means. He has called us and justified us. He has pronounced, it doesn't matter what the world says you are. It doesn't matter what charge they lay to you. He has said, you're not guilty because of my blood. Because of what I've done for you. Because of my righteousness. Remember I told you I was going to share those two verses in Jeremiah? Listen to these. In Jeremiah 23:6, it says this. Now listen very carefully to these two verses. They're only 10 chapters apart. In His days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is His name, whereby He shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Did you hear that? Jeremiah, looking at a prophet, seeing Christ, His justifier. This is how Judah and Israel, spiritual, will be saved. They'll be saved. This is what they can trust in, the righteousness of their Lord. In His righteousness. That's how that verse goes. And this is His name whereby He shall be called. 10 chapters later. Listen to this. 10 chapters later. Jeremiah, same one speaking. Jeremiah 33:16, which is the Holy Spirit. In those days, it sounds familiar, doesn't it? In those days shall Judah be saved and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. Same identical verse, different ending. Listen to this. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called. What? We're justified in Him. She shall be called the Lord our righteousness. She shall be called that. That's the church that's in Christ. That's the church that's justified by the righteousness, by the perfect finished work, by the perfect obedience of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? 10 chapters later, same prophet, same declaration, but he sees the church and Christ as one in union in the righteousness of the head who is Christ Jesus. That is being justified. But that's not all. Them He also glorified. David said in Psalm 45:13, the king's daughter, that's the church, is all glorious within. What? Do you feel glorious within? I don't. Many times, I do not. This is how we're seen of the Father, because of the work of the Son. The king's daughter. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is wrought gold. And it's wrought by a king. And it's wrought by the Lord our righteousness. And we are glory because let him who glory, glory in the Lord. Because of the Lord and what He has done. This is what it means that God is for us. He has pronounced victory in Jesus. He has pronounced victory in the triune Lord. Because of His protective hand, because of being kept in Him, because of His preservation. Isaiah said in Isaiah 45, 25, "In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." The glory in the Lord. The glory that is, that's what Jesus said, "The glory that you have set for me, I hope that they, I want them, Lord, to partake in that glory." That's the only way we can, is in Christ, in what Christ has done. So I ask you today, as we get to our text, what shall we then say to these things? What shall we say to all that's been said this morning? Is God for you? Has God cast His vote for you? Is this the election that matters? Is it? Because we're going to get swayed by the things we see in this life. We're going to get caught up in them, just like the disciples did when Jesus gave them all that power. Remember what He said to them? Turn with me to Luke 10. Verse 18, Jesus said, "And He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I saw him cast out. I saw him thrown out of heaven. That's the power I have. I was witness. I was there. I was part of the triune God who did it." This is what He's saying, and He says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." That's good news. That's God is for us. That is Emmanuel, God with us. There is nothing that will hurt you. Nothing, because we're safe and secure in the ark that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But if that isn't glorious enough, listen to what He says. "Notwithstanding in this," in what He just said, "rejoice not." Well, what are we to rejoice in? "Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Because God is for us. Because the Lord has cast His vote and He has said, "This one is not guilty and this one is saved in my Son." And He is elected before the foundation of the world, and there's no person and no time and no event and no principality and nothing that can alter that. Now let's see what David said. Psalm 56. Psalm 56. I want you to focus first on verse 9. Psalm 56. I'm going to read the whole thing, but verse 9 is our focal verse. Because that's where the whole thing, just like Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, David says the same thing in 9. "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." You need to know that. You need to know that the Holy Spirit has already quickened David to tell him to know that his Lord is for him. Because that's how you'll understand the rest of this psalm. You won't understand that until you understand verse 9. How could he write the things he did? How could he be in such trepidation and say the things he did? Because he knew his Lord was for him. Verse 1. "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me." Listen, David had many enemies. So do you and I. Ours are wickedness in high places. Ours is principalities in high places. Ours is the wicked one. Ours is our wicked nature. Ours is sin, the devil, all of those enemies. They are in the world. They are enemies to our soul every day. How, Lord, can I fight against these enemies? Well, the key is, God is for me. "Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Why, David? Why can you say that? Because God is for me. God has revealed to me that I am His child. I have that by birthright. I've been born into the kingdom, but I have that because He is for me. I can say that all of my enemies will be put down. I can say that the Lord will give me the faith to trust in Him because He's done it, because He said He will do it, and He has performed all things for me, which He tells us in the next Psalm, 57:2, but we're not going to get there. "In God I will praise His word." In God. "I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust." Notice that. It's all by Him. All by the Lord. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. You find that? You find that about your flesh? Always turning against you? Do you find that about your fallen nature? Always warring against you? Do you find that about the world? I hope you do. Oh, I hope you do. I hope you're not embraced by the world. I hope you find the world is at enmity with you because they're at enmity with your Lord. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. We cry unto the Lord day and night because we're oppressed. In God will I praise His word. I'm sorry, verse 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. For this I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? See how he's thinking? Huh, he's making his calling and election sure. That's what he's doing. Oh Lord, will my feet fall? You've done all this for me. Will you not you deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the land of the living? Aren't you faithful to do that? Haven't you been faithful every time? That's the work of the Spirit, to lead us always to what Christ has done. Now let's go back to our text as we finish this morning. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Isn't that what David just said as he started reconciling things? Lord, you've done this. That's what Paul's doing. Listen, here's what you get in his vote. Here's what the Lord has done. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Not man. It's God that justifies. He says you're not guilty. I don't care what man says. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, which we've talked about. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yes, we suffer because he suffered first. This world is not our friend. It's our persecutor. And so is the wicked one. And so is the nasty flesh that lives within us. Nay, in all things that the Lord has done in this electing vote and electing me to be in His Son, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us because of His love. For I am persuaded, that's what I hope the Holy Spirit brings every one of His children in this room to this place right now, that you are persuaded that He has voted for you. And in that vote, He has said that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And praise be to God that it is, where it's eternally secure, and we can't mess that up. If God be for us, who, dear ones, who can be against us? Dear Heavenly Father, add thy power and thy clarity for thy name's sake. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.